Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everyone. Forest Focus. It wasn't the weekend Nottingham Forest fans had hoped for with a draw at Luton Town, and today might bring bad news in the shape of points deduction. Is this season destined to end in misery, or is there still cause for optimism? Joining me to discuss all that are my guests today. First of all, TNT Sports commentator and Reds fan Darren Fletcher. Fletch, good to have you with us. Are you well this morning?
Very good, thank you, mate. Nice game of paddle tennis this morning, just to blow the cobwebs off. A mixture of success and failure in a 90-minute period, but now looking forward to this.
Well, that sounds like a game for Forest, certainly. Second guest today is Michael Temple. Temps, good to have you with us as ever. How are you doing?
Good, thanks, mate. So did you win or lose, Fletch? You skated around the result.
Yeah, it was kind of whoever the partner, it was kind of dictated by the partner. I won with...
You're let down by your doubles partner.
I won against certain partnerships and lost against others this morning. But I've got to take my fair share this morning of shots into the net and frustration. I just apologise to the ladies who were swimming up and down in the outdoor pool at some of the shouting and screaming from our court. If anybody's listening to the pod, apologies.
Oh, dear. Right, just quickly before we get started, thanks very much to Rich B, Russ Yates and Mark Wood for signing up for membership. Appreciate the support on the back of the weekend. Very good of you all. When it comes to points deductions, we'll leave that as late as we can in case anything breaks, but we don't think it will until later in the day. But we'll come to that. We'll kick off with the Luton game. Temps, just give us your general thoughts. I had my say on Saturday. I've not heard anything from you, actually, about you, what you made of it. So I'm looking forward to hearing what your take was. Take it away.
Well, I've counted to 10 rather than just having a rant on the internet like Matt Davis at 5:30 on a Saturday night. But we had the chances to win that game. And I think that's the two critical things are switched off, conceded from a corner late on. But before that, we had four or five gilt-edged chances to win. Origi threw one-on-one twice. Alanga had that moment. Bolly from the deep cross. Yatesy at the death. So we can't bemoan external factors. We have to be more defensively solid because that was an absolutely shocking way to concede an equaliser, given the focus that we have had, should have had on defending set pieces. But there are more than enough chances for Forest to win that game. They simply didn't take them. And that's why we find ourselves in genuine trouble now.
My issue on Saturday, Fletch, as Temp says, again, is not seeing a game out on player responsibility. But I did kind of lay a finger of accusation at Nuno around the substitutions. I didn't see why we needed to bring an extra centre-half on when I felt we were in the game. I felt we were in control. Do you agree with that? And where do you think the balance lies when it comes to player responsibility and managers making tactical changes mid-match?
Look, I've got to be honest. I didn't see your rant at the weekend. But this looks a bit of a mess right now, if I'm honest. It strikes me that the manager doesn't know what his best team is, which is not a crime by any stretch of the imagination. He's not the first manager to be like that. He won't be the last. But when you're in a critical situation like this, it seems to me as though he's trying to work it out game by game. I think the fact that it's a recurring theme of late goals being conceded and set-piece goals being conceded is also a concern, because it kind of indicates that lessons aren't being learned. And, you know, the reality is they do have a set piece coach. I'm not quite sure whether they use him anymore or not, but there is one there. And you can improve set pieces in an attacking sense and a defensive sense if you work hard enough at it. And I think there's been enough training ground time to make them better at defending set pieces. And they can't consistently be a mess every time they've got to face a corner or a free kick from a similar position. Likewise, they can't be so poor at generating chances from set pieces, because the delivery and the setup in the middle isn't good enough. So I think these are, you would always consider a lot of set piece issues to be basic errors, because they are things that you can put right. So it concerns me, because I think there's a narrative out there that, oh, Forest are fine, they'll finish above Luton. And I've always thought that. But if you look at the form of the two now, I mean, they're pretty much neck and neck. I mean, you might look at it and make a case that Forest have got a deeper squad and better players, but that doesn't always translate. And I think the biggest concern I've got right now is that, for all of the issues last season when Steve was the manager and the team didn't score many goals, by this stage of the season, they were getting quite good at managing leads. Yes, they were one or two blown famously at Brentford and things like that, but they were able late enough in the season to manage situations and get themselves over the line. And I think if they don't start doing that, then they're going to make really hard work of this for themselves. And I must say, I'm worried right now based on the sample size of form, the lack of overall improvement that we've seen since the managerial change, and the fact that every game you look at now looks difficult just based on the way they're playing and the manner in which they're conceding goals. So it's a concern for me, big concern. I'm probably more concerned now than I was at this stage of last season, because last season it was, let's hope that Forest stay in the Premier League, and won't it be great if they do? Since then, they've had more transfer windows, signed better players seemingly, and are in the same mess that they were at this stage of last season. So in terms of progress, nowhere near as much as I would have expected by this point.
And 12 months ago is an interesting comparison, Temps. I'm not going to get into any kind of managerial debate versus who's better and who's us. You know, that's long gone. But what's changed from 12 months ago? Is it the connection between fans and players? Is it a spirit, a unity? Is it a quality? That, you know, what's different, and what gives us less hope that we're going to stay up compared to where we were a year ago?
It's a mood, isn't it? The connection was hard earned, because it was off the back of form and a consistent period of results on the pitch. And for all of the impact that Nuno had in those games against Newcastle and Man United, and that the feeling that generated, it's dissipated really, really quickly. We're not in any kind of form. We're not scoring goals, taking chances. And those that are firmly in the pro-Nuno seat are probably talking about the XG stats, which doesn't translate into points in a Premier League relegation fight. So, yeah, he's not being forgiven in the same manner that Cooper was during his period of struggle, because he doesn't have that history with the Forest fans. But it can still turn with results. But this was the opportunity to spark that. We're going into a run of games now against teams in and around us that we can compete with. Albeit we've seen Fulham turn over Spurs out of nowhere. But there's three or four games coming up which could define our season. Last year, it was a late run, wasn't it? Someone said in the comments it was week 33 before Forest found this form that eased them away from danger and gave us a chilled out day at Palace on the final day. I don't feel we're going to get that this year. I think it could go to the wire. We're nervous about what's to come this afternoon with the points deduction, and that could yet be critical. But what's within us is to transform chances into goals, goals into results, and manage the last 10, 15 minutes of games more effectively than we did there. I don't like the way we invited pressure. I don't like the way we sacrificed players that could keep possession in the final third to get on an extra centre-half. I think there are more effective ways of doing it. And if we're going to pick on the corner specifically, a zonal system with a back four not marking, free to attack the ball. Everyone's bagging Sangare, but I've watched Felipe have no other role in that cross than to try and get his head on it. It's completely mistimed his jump. He's nowhere near it, and that relieves the pressure straight away. When they win the nick, there's no chance of offside, because Nico's regressed to the front stick, playing everybody onside for the second ball. So that was an exercise in how not to defend the corner. There was no evidence of any solidity or a plan there, and we were punished. But that could have been a consolation goal if we'd have got ourselves 3-4 goals up for the gilt-edged chances that we had and missed. So pros, still creating, still have players within our squad who are getting into better positions in the final third and able to do it. But if you don't translate that into goals, and the clean sheet is everything, we just do not look like keeping a clean sheet at this moment in time.
I got to come in on comments that are being made, if they are, about it took until week 33 and all that until this happened. You shouldn't then have to do it again, like learn it again the following season. Once you learn it once as a Premier League group, you don't press reset in the summer and then you don't know how to do it again. And you've got to wait till week 33 again. This is part of a process where teams should get better, but consistently better over a period of time. This is not a case of, well, we were good at the back end of last season, but it took until then. So it might take until then now. It shouldn't do. You should start the new season knowing how to do that. And I don't think they do. And they've supposedly brought in superior players than the ones that were there last season. Because if they're not, why have you done it? So you shouldn't then have to teach superior players how to manage a 1-0 lead away from home in a critical situation, even if you've missed a bucket load of chances. The Nuno situation, it felt positive when he came. It now feels like the typical managerial bounce, doesn't it? That everything's okay for a few weeks, and then when it levels off, let's have a look and see what it's like. I mean, I looked at a few numbers over the weekend. One win in 14 in 90 minutes. You can factor in the Blackpool win as well, but that wasn't a 90-minute win. Winless in 5. One clean sheet in 9. They've blown the lead 9 times this season. They've conceded in the last 10 minutes 3 times in the last 4 games. 4 wins in 17 games under Steve Cooper, or under Nuno. 3 wins in the 17 prior to that, when Steve was a manager. So Nuno's got 4 in 17. He had 3 in 17. They conceded 29 goals in 17 matches under Steve Cooper. They've conceded 29 goals in 17 games under Nuno. Here's the XG point. They've scored 7 more. 17, I think, scored under Steve in the various competitions. 24 under Nuno. 16 Premier League matches with Steve Cooper as the manager. 14 points. Nuno's had 13 Premier League games, 11 points. So, I mean, the reality is it is no different. However you look at it, overall, it's not leading to anything other than we might be slightly more likely to score a goal. That's it. The rest of it is just about the same. So the managerial change has been made, and it's not really made much difference, is the reality. We're still in the same boat. And Steve was popular with a large part of the fan base. It kind of felt in a lot of areas that it was the right thing to do. But it's only the right thing to do if it then leads to progression, development, improvement. If it's just the same, then if you're ownership, you're looking at it saying, we might have made the wrong decision here. It might have been the right decision at the outset, but then the next decision might be the wrong one. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see the way it goes. Next two for Forest, Palace and Fulham at home, feel like the critical games of the season to me. 3 of Luton's next 4, while Forest play those matches, are Arsenal, Spurs and Manchester City. So they've got an horrific run. There has to be daylight between Forest and Luton at the end of that 4-game run. Forest have got to get a couple of positive results at home in those matches and then sit back and expect the big sides in the Premier League to get victories against Luton to open the gap. It's no given then that Forest will survive, but it's a lot easier going into the final few weeks with a gap and a cushion and a bit of confidence compared to being neck and neck now, knowing that Luton have got rid of those really difficult fixtures on their run. This is a critical time. And I think last year it was a case of sitting here and saying, look, everybody get behind him, stick together. Everything's going to be fine. Keep the spirits up. But I think as a fan base, we are allowed now, 12 months on, to expect better and expect more. I think that's the way it is. That's the way it should be.
I think when Nuno came in, Fletch, we didn't see what we're seeing now, though. Like, we were quite front foot. We went to Newcastle. We didn't take a backward step. We played well against Man United. We were unlucky against Bournemouth. It's only the last 3 away games. I don't know what's happened. He's really regressed. Do we just need...
The point is, and we don't know the answer to this, has he tightened up mentally? We don't know how he's seeing it. Has he got nervous? Is he saying, look, we can't... We don't know. We can only speculate because we don't sit in his meetings and we don't sit and talk to him. And he's not going to let you in that regard. They might have been like that because the freedom came from a change of manager, a fresh feel, a managerial bounce. We've seen it many, many times at all different clubs before. New manager comes in, get a few wins. Everybody thinks it's fine. The reality is 4 months later, not a great deal's changed and everybody's panicking again. That's what it looks like now. But again, he might also have just tightened up himself based on the situation that Forest find themselves in the league. He might feel he's got to be handbrake back on to a certain extent to give him a chance to win. So, and by the way, even doing that, to Temps's point, they still should have had more than one goal at Luton at the weekend by doing that. You've just got to be more clinical when the chances come. Players who should be better in those situations. Look, let's not put too fine a point on it. We're nearly two full seasons into being a Premier League club, and the players in the squad are Premier League players. So we can make excuses for them until we're blue in the face. Felipe's got to do better at the corner. They've got to be set up better to defend set pieces. People have got to take collective and individual responsibilities at critical times of games. Don't try and play your way out of trouble against Liverpool. Smash the ball into the stand and get your point and get in the back. Simple. This is what streetwise battle-hardened teams do. And they've had enough experience of this to be making good decisions when it matters. And there are too many bad decisions being made. Coaching pitch, training ground, they should be able to defend set pieces better than they are. They should be a bigger threat at set pieces than they are. They're basic errors, and we're nearly 2 years in. And I think you can start to look at it now and say, look, this has to be better. And I'm sure the owner sits down, having spent all the money on the players and provided players who should be delivering when it matters. I think he's perfectly entitled to say, listen, what are we doing here? You know, we should be way better than this. We had designs on being mid-table or better. That's my ambition. That's what he's saying to them all. And here we are again. Not that many games left to play. A potential points deduction coming. And Forest are in the shit, just like Luton are. Let's not put too fine a point on it. You know, this is going to be a difficult few weeks to stay in the league. And it's going to be a difficult few weeks to stay in the league because there are lots and lots of basic individual and collective errors being made every time they play.
And Fletch, how different do we feel in this moment right now if we've come out of that game with a win, be it a 1-0 sneak or a 3-0 cruise? Everything that you've just said there and framed is entirely different if we're going into this run of fixtures, tails up, feeling good, feeling informed, knowing the guys who are going to start the next game. I just don't think we're quite there yet. That was a seismic game, a seismic opportunity that we passed up.
I mean, what I would say, though, Temps, just on that, they still did get a point away from home at Luton. So it's still a better result for Forest than it is for Luton because that's another home game gone for them where they haven't won. And their form is terrible too. So all the things that Forest are going through internally, mentally, they're going through it as well. But they're playing with house money because they're supposed to get relegated. So where Forest had a bit of freedom last season because the whole city was behind them and let's enjoy the ride. We've not been here before. If you pull it off, lads, you're all heroes and we'll have a dinner for you in 25 years for staying up. Luton are the same. If Luton can stay up now, they become legends of that club because in reality, it'll be one of the great survival seasons for anybody in the Premier League era based on what they haven't got. Essentially a championship club with Ross Barkley in the team. And they've got a chance to stay up. And if they do, it will be unbelievable. And Rob Edwards' team talks and Rob Edwards' training days are easy because he's just got to say to them, listen, lads, nobody believes in you. They'll name stands after you if you stay up. And it's a real incentive for people to become heroes. Forest now are the team with the pressure where people are saying, well, you should finish above them. Now let's see how they handle it.
I suppose, Temps, the players, the common denominator across two managers now. And do you think there's question marks? People are questioning their kind of mentality under pressure now. As Fletch says, Luton sort of playing without pressure. This is a different scenario to last season because we're the ones who were expected to stay up and kick on, rightly or wrongly. Have they got the bottle is, a poor phrase, but it's probably the question that hangs over them in a sense, as much as their quality.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It comes down to individual mistakes. And I suppose what I don't understand is if that's off the back of instruction from the manager or headspace, lack of confidence that they're in. So two examples from the Luton game. First half, Ross Barkley's running the show. First 15 minutes, has two or three pot shots where he's in all kinds of space, centre mid. We can barely lay a glove on him. And we're not relieving pressure for any kind of considered out ball or lumping it. Elanga, Murillo give the ball straight back into Luton in centre mid through lazy passes that shouldn't have been made. And I'm not sure if that is some kind of crippling instruction. We don't lump it even under pressure. We seek to find the man even when it's not on. But that's just led us into trouble time and time again. And we can talk back to the fluff on the edge of the box when we were trying to cling on against Liverpool as well. So is that pressure? Is that individual mistake, or is that just a absolute backstop instruction that we don't lump it and we're under pressure? That's one of my observations. You've got to take responsibility for your own performance, though, haven't you? You're employed as a footballer with your skill levels, the experience that you have, the abilities, technical qualities that you have. And if you're conceding possession in your own third, that's going to be punished in the Premier League, even by a team such as Luton, who, as Fletch rightly says, do not have the resources, which suggests they should be anywhere near the dotted line that is the difference between relegation and staying in the Premier League. So I think we're playing under pressure. I think the lads within their shells a bit. They don't seem to have that exuberance that they had when they looked free-flowing and got going. The Origi chances, I mean, he doesn't look like a player in any kind of form, does he? He's getting into these positions in the box through the craft of Morgan Gibbs-White in particular and some decent through balls. But he doesn't look like finishing even the most gilt-edged of chances. Yeah, I'm concerned. But to answer your question, is that coming from the manager? You've got to take responsibility for the way you look after that football, what you do with it. And if all that's on is a clearance into Rosette, particularly when you're 1-0 up against Liverpool, or trying to get a foothold in the game away at Luton, that's personal responsibility.
I'd also say as well, Matt, just on that to a certain extent, they brought a lot of this on themselves, because when they were promoted to the Premier League, there were players in there linked to the club and linked to the city, and they've gradually gone. And you get to a situation like this, back end of last season, Brennan Johnson, academy player, born in Nottingham, cared passionately about the club. Joe Worrell, academy player, born in Hucknall, cares passionately about the club. Ryan Yates, Lincoln-born, academy player, cares passionately about the club. There was enough around them who could pull people together, people who knew what Nottingham Forest is, people who know what Nottingham Forest mean to the supporters, people who respect the magnificent support that they get home and away and don't take it for granted because they understand it. They get it. People who know what the city went through for decades trying to get back the heartbreak and the pain. And that all the way through that, the Forest fan base were as loyal as any fan base anywhere in the world would have been. So when they got to the Premier League, players who'd been there before and knew about it, I don't want to sound cliched, but you'd die for the cause in football terms. You'd give everything. And you'd make sure that the fella next to you that wasn't aware of it knew. They would lead and they'd pull together and they'd make sure that the new players knew what it meant to everybody else. Who does that now? Because now we've just got a lot of people that have been brought in, almost like hired hands, who don't know the history. That a lot of them are probably here because Forest are paying higher wages than the other clubs that wanted them. So there is no connection. A lot of them probably don't understand it. And I'd probably put the manager in that bracket too. The previous manager did. Let's be honest. And I think when you're in a situation like that, it counts for a lot. It counts for a hell of a lot. A lot of those Luton players will have come up and felt what it meant to the town of Luton to get back into the Premier League. They know. So that's why they're going to name lounges after them and entrances after them if they stay in the Premier League, because it's not being done. Forest have taken those players away. They've taken the heart out of it to a large extent. And now you're just hoping that your recruitment's good enough, that you've got good enough players to win the relegation battle. But the extra 10 or 15, 20% that they found last year, where Worrell was blocking everything and Johnson was running himself into the ground and Yates was smashing anything he could see and he was encouraging everybody else to do the same. I'm afraid to a large extent that's now gone. And we're just hoping that Origi can score when he should. We're hoping that Sangare can look like a player that cost 30 mil and was outstanding for PSV last season. We're hoping for a bit of consistency from Anthony Elanga. We're hoping that Callum Hudson-Odoi ever gets picked in the starting lineup again. All of these things, we're hoping. Whereas last year, you could look at that group and say, I can count on a few of these lads to give me everything because they know what it means. And if I'm a season ticket holder, which I am, my family are in the stadium, you would walk in and say, I know I can rely on a lot of these lads because they get it like I do. They're from this city like I am. They know what this club's been through like we do. And the fella next to me and the lady in front. Because we've all been there for a long time. And I think we've lost a lot of that. And I think that's a problem now. When you get to this end of the season, where's your heartbeat? Who's your leader? Who's your voice? Who's pulling them all together in the changing room and saying, shut the door. We don't need the manager in here. I'm going to tell you what this is all about. I'm going to tell you what this club means to those people out there who pay thousands of pounds to make sure that we've got the best support in the league. Who's doing that now? And I think that's a problem. And I think last season it meant so much. And I tell you what, when they survived against Arsenal, every single member of that team were in town for the weekend with the fans. Every single one of them, apart from the lads who had to go away on international, every single one of them. Would that be the case this time? I don't think so. Because I think they've lost a special ingredient that was really important to them last season.
I was going to cut, you mentioned Yates, actually, because I was going back to the mentality. There was a point in 65 minutes where we got a throw in and Ryan Yates threw the ball up and just nodded it back to Nico Williams and just said, yeah, we're really in control of this game. And I thought that mentality was there then. And then we made subs that regressed the team. And I think Yates is still a leader. And I think Nico gets it and Gibbs White gets it. And there are question marks against the other. And why don't you talk about Origi temps as one of a couple of players.
Just before you do, I'm not saying that there are people in there that don't care. They all care. They care in their own way. But there's a difference between being part of the fabric of the club and being a good professional when you get to a new place. There's a difference. It's not the same. It just isn't the same. I mean, there's been a big debate this week about whether Liverpool winning trophies means more to their fan base than it does Manchester City, right? I get that. But I tell you what, it means a lot more to Trent Alexander-Arnold at Liverpool than it does to Luis Diaz. And it means a lot more to Phil Foden at Manchester City than it does Manuel Akanji. It just does because they came through. They're from there. That's what it means to them. And that's the point I'm trying to make. It just gives you that special element. And a lot of that special element has been taken away by the multiple changes.
Well, I think we've got players whose next move could be quite comfortable for them this season if we go down. And perhaps some of those players we had last season, it wouldn't necessarily be the case. And it did mean everything to them. But we'll see how they pan out in the next few games. There's question marks against them. Coming back to Origi temps, I don't really understand why Callum Hudson-Odoi isn't getting minutes anymore. It felt like we had a pattern of play with a front four we knew could hurt teams. And that was our biggest weapon. And now, in one game, three of them weren't playing. I understand Chris Wood playing, obviously, at Brighton, and now we'll come on to Taiwo's injury. But I don't know, why are we hanging our hat on Divock Origi, who's done fine but hasn't done any better than fine for me?
Completely different profile of player to Callum Hudson-Odoi. Clearly wants to play through the middle, ideally, but Tyro and Woody are ahead of him in that sense. You could make a case for focusing play down the left, down Elanga's wing, and him becoming a second striker, but being able to hold his ground, being able to engage a fullback, striding out, and just having that little bit more of an all-round game than perhaps those out-and-out nines that we've described there. But he has had chances in games he's missed them, and that's what he's there for. And for all of the lauding of him at Liverpool, and the narrative that he was a player that Klopp really liked, he didn't pick him, did he? He was a needs-must player that had a great moment against Barcelona when Suarez was out suspended, but he had no consistent run in the team. He hasn't pulled up trees anywhere. Narrative changes if he's taken his chances. I don't think he scored a Premiership goal since it was April 22. And the two gilt-edged chances he had from the Gibbs-White through ball and from the square pass from a Langer getting in behind, that's as good as it gets in the Premier League. If that's the only chance in the game, you'd expect your team to convert it. It wasn't. We had five or six chances of that quality. Two of them fell to Divock Origi. So I don't mind him in possession. I don't think he's particularly wasteful. He's quite progressive with his carries. Haven't seen much from him in a crossing sense. He abandons his wing a bit more, which can be a good thing, can be an extra man in the box. You've got to take those chances inside the penalty spot, 10, 12 yards out, when you're not really under any pressure and you're able to pull the trigger. And he didn't do that. So for me, his place comes under immediate threat from Callum Hudson-Odoi, who I think deserves more minutes than he's getting at this moment in time.
Temps, if you look at it, and people like numbers these days, especially when they throw XG at you, which I think is the worst statistic in any sport, when there are so many moving parts in a football team. But I've just looked at Divock Origi's. In his last 43 matches for AC Milan and Forest, he scored 3 goals against Monza, Sassuolo and Bristol City. 43 matches. Now, that's not enough. No, by any stretch of the imagination. And by the way, when he was playing for an AC Milan team that got to a Champions League semi-final last season, you should be converting more opportunities over the piece than that. So in terms of his ability to score goals, it's not been there now for nearly two full seasons. Confidence will be low, and you see that when he gets himself in a position, the Divock Origi at Liverpool would have taken those chances because he was a way more confident, accomplished finisher at that point. This stage of his career, it looks like a lottery pick, doesn't it? When he gets there, you're just hoping that something comes off for him. And you know, the reality is, I don't know if they can carry a player like that right now.
No, I mean, he was picked as an out ball because Sells, whose distribution was tremendous, I thought, kept pinging it out to him. But it just, I just don't understand why he's taking minutes away from Hudson-Odoi when we had that fluid attack that seemed to be doing well and seemed our best weapon. Just before we crack on, let's just take 33 seconds or so to thank our sponsor, the Trent Navigation, with a word from Matt Ford.
And not just great beers, but immaculate inside. Cobs on the bar. What more do you want? I would say it was well priced as well. And then, obviously, as you know, the big shed outside and what they've done on match days is phenomenal. That's become, when I first started, you know, as a kid, I never really heard of the Trent Nav as like a big place to go. And then the last few years, it's really grown in stature as a pre-match place to go. I love it. And I love the fact that it's on the way to the ground. And I just love everything they've done with it. It's great.
How much is Dave Willens paying him for that, by the way? He's not a cheap. He's not a cheap booking. 40, you know. 40's not a cheap booking.
It's cheaper than Darren Fletcher.
I'll tell you what, he's not. He's not. He's not. When it comes to Dave at the Trent Nav, we start at 3 and work our way down, not up.
Let's move on. I think someone in the car, James, is saying, I don't think we're slating Origi. I'm just saying I think Callum Hudson-Odoi is a better option. I'm not particularly digging out Origi. Look, I think he's done fine.
Look, people are going to interpret the way we speak about players, whichever way they want to interpret it. The fact of the matter is, he's in Forest front line. They've got 3 forward players on the pitch behind a striker, and he scored against Bristol City this season. That warrants scrutiny because it's the stage of the season where you've got to convert chances into goals. It's not an Origi issue. If that was somebody else out there, you'd be saying exactly the same. Marcus Rashford's had to face it all season at Manchester United because with him not scoring goals, it creates a problem for them. And Origi's in there to do that job. He can be great in a pro. I wouldn't mind if all of a sudden Origi was sat there with 10 assists. Hasn't got to score, but if he's made 10 goals for other people, then I'd give him a pass. But I think when you're a forward player, you're either scoring goals or creating goals. In his case, he's not really doing either. What I would say, it's not through a lack of effort. He's trying hard and he's putting the work in, and you want it to come right for him because he's doing everything right, but it's just not there. And he's lacking confidence when it really matters. I think Origi's been exemplary in terms of his attitude, but this is the stage of the season now where we have to have end product. Having a good go at this stage now isn't going to be enough. It's going to cost him a place in the league. And at the minute, when you look at, if you made a comparison between someone like Carlton Morris at Luton and some of the lads at Forest right now, Carlton Morris is a lot more likely to nick your goal. And he's a limited player compared to some of the people that we're paying decent salaries to. So, you know, this is the stage of the season now where James is probably impressed by the way that Origi's gone about his work. And I would concur with that. But the reality is, scored against Bristol City, 2 for AC Milan against Monza and Sassuolo. He's got to start turning his opportunities in the first team into genuine end product, which is goals, either making them or scoring them. Because if we don't start doing either of those, we're going to be in a mess with a couple of games to go.
I neglectfully did not thank Andrew Boyles and Nick Hemphill for becoming members, and Andrew kindly gifted one membership as well. So thanks very much for that, gents. Very kind of you. The other player in the spotlight over the weekend, temps certainly on social media, seemed to be Sangare. You either thought he was really good or really bad. I don't think he was terrible, but that he didn't play up to the price tag, which isn't his fault for me. Just a lack of mobility. Is he the next Chris Wood who comes good, or are you worried about him long term?
I've been a broken record on this. I think he's got all the technical attributes, and I've seen performances from him where he's everything you'd want in your side. Midfield general, can be progressive, technically proficient, but does a bit of everything, can make a difference in both boxes, and has the athleticism, range of movement, vision to pick defences apart. Just not seeing it. Seeing too many times when he turns sideways and lays it off to the right back. I'm not seeing him being particularly aggressive or effective in trying to win aerial duels or dispossess opposing central midfielders. So his place in the side has been debated endlessly since we signed him. There's been times when he's been out of the side when we've called for him. There's been times when we've seen him play and we've been frustrated and think that kind of spirit and doggedness and the Yatesy-esque qualities that Fletch described earlier might be a better fit for us at this moment in time. But he certainly doesn't look like an automatic pick for me. He's going to be one of those players that gets looked on through a slightly different lens because he still needs to prove himself to the fan base. But from where I'm sitting and watching him from the stands, he's not lived up to the price tag. He's not an automatic pick, and he's not affecting games anywhere near as much as a player of his calibre should.
I mean, he's only played 13 games, hasn't he? So, we're going to say, what's your take on him after seeing 13 games in a Forest shirt now?
This is not really a defence of him, so to speak, because I agree with everything that Temps has said, that when you spend the money that they've spent on a player, it's never a guarantee that they're going to be what you hope they're going to be, but you do then need them to be that because that's why you've decided to buy them. But in his defence, to a certain extent, it took a long time over the summer to get him here. So it was a protracted transfer that seemed to be going on for weeks. And then he finally gets here later than he might have done. He's never then really hit the ground running in terms of form. He's then gone away to Africa for the Africa Cup of Nations. He then gets injured when he comes back and misses more time. I just wonder whether he's ever really felt really settled at the club in the role that he's got to do. I just wonder whether he just needs this season almost to go and have a holiday, come back, do a full pre-season, feel really integrated in what they're doing. And then maybe by the start of next season, you see a different player because the talent is in there. He's outstanding for PSV Eindhoven, outstanding. And I was excited when I heard they were going to sign him because everything Temp said about the attributes he has, the skill set that he has, felt like it was perfect to make Forest better in that area. And I still believe it's in him. He's not become a bad player. So there must be extenuating circumstances as to why he's not been able to deliver those performances. So I think even though it's a critical situation and we need him to play, I cut him a bit of slack just based on the uneven nature of what his season's been like from the moment that he was linked with the club, everything he's gone through to this point now. I don't think it's really been conducive to getting the best out of him. So I would reserve judgment on him until we see him at the start of next season and then say, right now, what does he look like? Because some players from overseas settle quicker than others. And if everything falls for you, you can hit the ground running straight away. But in his case, he might just need a little bit longer.
I think his season's been so broken that I want to see more from him. He had good moments against Luton on the ball, but because he's so languid, when you're not playing well or a team gets a bad result, it's really heightened in the eyes of fans, I think, because he can look a bit lackadaisical, and that's his style. And he got dribbled around too many times, dribbled past and passed around too many times. But I do want to see more from him in a different team. I think we just need a bit of patience. I agree with Fletch, but yeah, he's not been what we hoped so far. And that's one of the reasons, among many, we are kind of where we are, because it just hasn't come together recruitment-wise. So, disappointing. The next one I wanted to talk about is Taiwo. I don't know. I've asked Temps about this situation, Fletch, whether we need another striker. It feels like a pivotal decision in the summer now. Taiwo, I love him, but he can't stay fit. So do you have to bring someone in, which has a knock-on effect on Chris Wood, because he's not going to want to be a number three striker? It just feels like a bit of a mess up front again now.
Yeah, somebody said to me once that when you analyse any sports person, the best ability is availability. And that's the biggest hole in Taiwo Awoniyi's ability as a footballer. You just can't rely on his fitness. And I feel for him because he'll be as frustrated as anybody else. I'm told that he's literally in pain all the time, but there's always something. But he just seems to have a body that attracts problems. When he's fit and when he's hungry, he's outstanding. He's probably right now as good a central striker as Forrest could have in the circumstances. And his strike rate tells you that he's very capable at Premier League level for the club. But you never know how many games you're going to get. I mean, one of these years he might surprise us, play 32 games out of 38 and rock up with 25 goals, and then you're saying, blimey. But then the next year, you could only see him for 12 or 13 again. I just think they've got to have consistency in that area. It's such an important position. And when you are the kind of club that Forest are right now, they're standing in the Premier League. To get a consistent goal scorer is difficult. When you've got one, it makes a massive difference. And I feel for him first and foremost, because everybody tells me what a fantastic fella he is. He loves being a Forest player. He's integrated himself into the club and the city as well as he can. He greets everybody every day with a smile on his face. He's wonderful to have around the place. And if you could root for anybody to get a break and a rub of the green and get a run of fitness, it will be him. Because if he's fit, Forrest stay up. He'll score the goals to keep them up. If he's in the team at the weekend to beat Luton, because he takes one of the chances and he frightens defenders to death, because A, he's strong and he's quick and he's determined, but he's unorthodox as well. So he's a nightmare for even Van Dijk was put off by him when he was around him. And that's a huge compliment to him. But I think unless you can guarantee that you're going to get 30 games out of him in a season, you have to look at another forward player. You've got to invest in that position, because it's such a difficult scenario for anybody when your main striker's out on a pretty consistent basis. I don't think they've got a choice. I think they've got to find one. Even if Taiwo's the number one, the backup has to be good enough that when he's out, we don't miss him.
No. Which, to be fair, Temps, I think Chris Wood has been. It's just that he's 32 and can he keep doing it? I mean, again, he's got 10 goals this season for Forest from a very limited number of starts. And that was a really good goal on Saturday. Credit to Gibbs White, great assist. But I think Wood's been tremendous. It's just, can you rely on him for another season, I guess?
Yeah, 10 goals this year, including 6 in the last 7. Deftness of touch for that goal, outside of the peg, back across where the keeper's going, had no chance, really, really clever finish. And probably underlines the craft that he's got, which I didn't appreciate before I saw him play for Forest. I'd mislabeled him, as many had, as a bit of an Andy Carroll-type character who'll stand at the top of a Sam Allardyce diamond and win the flicks. That's not him at all. If you just watch the compilation of the goals he scored for Forest, there's some impressive stuff in there. He's found his form. He's feeling confident. He's doing what he does. At the age he's at, he's the perfect number two for me. I think that if he's playing 10 games a year in and around managing Taiwo, that's a positive thing. But it does seem to be a bit of a chronic problem for Taiwo. He's not pulling calves. he's having, you know, his hips affected and whatever else. And we're possibly looking at him being out now for 3 or 4 weeks, including this run of fixtures, which is going to define our season. So what do I want? I think the mix of personnel there, in that Wood is kind of similar, a bit different, can plug in. It doesn't materially change the way that Forest need to play or the players they need to pick around him, is a good thing. But it does rely on Tawa getting in those 30 games, which he doesn't look like doing. I don't think Forest would be mindful to sell him in the summer from a position of relative weakness when he's had a period out of the team, on the physio bed, trying to recapture the form that he had. If he'd have been fit and maintained his form in and around Christmas, I think there could have been some knockers in January for Taiwo, because he's proved himself as an effective Premier League goal scorer. So plan A for me would still be to get him fit to start next season with those two. Maybe A another. I'm not sure what Ribeiro is. Could be anything. He's had 10 minutes, is it, since he's been through? So no opportunity to make a judgment there. However, if we get to January and we're still in this situation of Chris Wood, who has his injury problems himself, who hasn't been consistently available in the times that Taiwo hasn't, then there's a seismic decision to make there. Because it doesn't matter what you do in the rest of the pitch, you're going to need someone in the box to stick it away. There's 20 to 25 goals a season for whoever's playing that role effectively. Taiwo has the ability, but not the availability or the durability that Fletch described earlier. And Chris Wood's probably peaking about now if he didn't a year ago. So there's a big decision to be made there for sure.
I'd like to think that the strategy this summer would be quality over quantity. And I think they should be identifying certain positions and maybe signing two players as opposed to six or eight. And a centre forward has to be a priority. I mean, if you look at the importance of Dominic Solanke this season for Bournemouth, you just look at the teams that Forest want to join. You know, Newcastle have got Isak and Wilson. You look at Brighton, they've got Ferguson and Welbeck. You look at West Ham, they've got a whole host of people. Mikel Antonio comes off the bench more often than not. They've all got more than Forest have. So I think they've got to add to that area anyway. I just looked at Chris Wood. I think 19 players have scored more goals than him in the Premier League this season, but that shouldn't detract from the season he's having. But they just don't really resonate on the goal scoring charts. They don't get many goals from midfield either, if you think about it. So I think if all of a sudden Morgan Gibbs-White becomes a player that can get you 10 to 12, then all of a sudden it takes the pressure off. But if you look at the midfielders, Dominguez isn't a scorer, Yates isn't a scorer, Sangari's not a scorer, Morgan Gibbs-White hasn't been a scorer, Ilanga should be a scorer if he sharpens his finishing up, but he's not. Callum's going to get you 2 or 3. I mean, you kind of move it around. The centre-halves don't score. So at set pieces, we're not a threat with the centre-backs. It puts added emphasis on your number nine. And if you're not getting goals from elsewhere, you've got to get a lot from them. If you're not, you're going to have a problem. You're always going to be in tight games. So I would like to think that the majority of the transfer budget this summer would go on a striker that can come in and be a consistent source of goals. And I think that would make the whole team better. I think they've got a nice depth pieces all over the place. They've got options all around the field. They've got plenty of fullbacks. They're okay at centre half. They've got a different blend in midfield whenever they want to do it. They've got width. But I just think the one area that turns it all into a successful 90 minutes is if you can stick the ball in the net. Temps has already said, could have had 5 more at Luton at the weekend. If you've got Dominic Solanke in the team at the weekend, they would have blown Luton away. Now, I'm not suggesting they're going to sign Dominic Solanke, but it's a consistent centre forward who's going to turn promising positions around the opposition box into goals. And it's something that's missing just simply because of the fitness. So I think I would hope that that's the big area that they solve in the summer.
At the opposite end of the pitch, Temps, I mean, there were positives on Saturday. They always get overlooked when things go wrong. But I thought the goalkeeper, like I said, his kicking was good. And I thought the back four was really good. It's a bit depressing to me that Murillo's taken our best free kick of the season. It's from 70 yards out. But that's another debate. But again, yeah, he was good. Willy Bolly came in and I thought played really well. And Nico, again, I don't want to wax too lyrical about Nico, but you know, there were things to take from that game defensively. We probably shouldn't overlook. It's just the set pieces. But I think that was more on Felipe and Sangare, perhaps, as we said.
Yeah, credit to Nico, because I think he's learned how to play right back now. He came in as Jed Spence by numbers, comfortable being the guy wide right with the three centre halves behind him. So it's been a big adjustment for him to be part of a four, but looks comfortable, and he's still getting forward without seemingly abandoning his defensive duties to any particular extent. I was really pleased to see Bolly picked, because we called before the game about the frequency of crosses, their ability to get the ball in from depth, and him being our best rear guard defender, if you like, able to attack the ball and be quite dominating of a player in the air. So he kind of delivered on that. So I'd expect him to keep his place. I don't think there's going to be too many changes. Let's not forget, I think we've got another round of African fixtures, haven't we? So all those boys go off this Saturday to play in their games, and anything could come out of that, given our recent record when we lose the boys for a week. But I think there's a nice blend there of the exceptional growing talent of Murillo being partnered with a solid, old-fashioned, if you like, defender and dynamic fullbacks, because we're coming in on two home games in 4 days that are going to define our season. It's not a time for experimenting. Nuno has to double down, commit on the side that he thinks is best, a side that he thinks can score goals, have that balance defensively, yes, drill the intensity. But we're going to know, for me, whatever the gap is between us and Luton, after we've gone Saturday, Tuesday, Palace, Fulham, we'll know exactly where we're at. And I'm excited and nervous in equal measure.
We will. And I would just like to put a little word of caution out there that this isn't an automatic 6 points against Crystal Palace and Fulham. By any stretch, Oliver Glasner's gone into Crystal Palace and will make a difference. He's a bright manager. They'll be different than they were. And they've got players within that group that can score a goal. The Fulham game, I think, is really difficult, because they're coming off a run where they've won four out of their last six, and they've beaten Bournemouth, Manchester United, Brighton and Tottenham. So they're a team in form. Now, they're going to look at Forest away and say, we'll win that. They're going to come with a lot of confidence. They're going to come to win the game. Again, they're playing without pressure. That's a difficult match. I think it's really important. If Forest drew at home against Crystal Palace, there'd be a hell of a lot of pressure on going into the Fulham match. And I think this is where they're really going to need the City ground to vibrate, as it did last season. And I won't have anybody tell me anything else than the role the fan base played in those wins at the end of the year. They forced the players to get those results. You know, and they intimidated the opposition, and they didn't give anybody a second. And when the lads got tired, the noise in the stadium pushed them on a little bit more. And I think we need that coming together as a fan base, a real push for Crystal Palace and Fulham to almost drag some of them over the line, to give nobody an excuse not to give everything during those matches, to make the block, to win your header, to get off the ground at a set piece, to put your body on the line. I think we need that. And I think the fans are going to play a really big role in those two matches. And I just hope everybody comes together as they did at the back end of last season. 6 points from those two matches would be absolutely ginormous. And I think if everybody's joined together, we've got half a chance. But they're not, by any stretch of the imagination, a foregone conclusion.
I'll just reiterate this bracket of games that we've been talking about that Fletch reference is there for us and Luton. So it's Luton have got Spurs away, Arsenal away, Bournemouth at home, Man City away in the next four, which is pretty wretched, obviously. And in that time, we've got Crystal Palace at home, Fulham at home, Spurs away, and then Wolves at home. And then we go to Everton away as well. So I tag that on the end. So it is, as we've referenced, a crucial period. We have to kind of put it into context with some points talk as well. We've not heard anything yet, so I'll just get the thoughts and the chaps about what we can take in the relegation picture in general. What about you then, Temps? If it's 2 points, 4 points, 6 points, how are you feeling about the relegation battle?
There's a popular whisper, isn't there, of 6 points, two suspended, so four taken off us by the end of the day. I think we'll learn for sure this afternoon, and Fletch may well have better channels into that information than I do. But I think with minus 4 points, we survive. I think I've seen enough, despite me bemoaning that performance, that between now and the end of the season, we can outperform Luton to the extent where 4 points isn't the decisive factor affecting our season. I think if we get into that six or more kind of territory, it's a very, very different proposition. I would reiterate what's been said already about the way we've leaned into it, being open book. As soon as this has come to light, we've clearly got good representation for us. Nick Randall will be in the background as well with his history in in sports law. So, look, I'm not proud of any means of trying to circumnavigate rules or whatever else. If we get 4 points taken off us, we engineer survival in the Premier League this year, having found a way to get every possible penny of resource into the football department to equip us to stay in the Premier League, then you have to credit the ownership and say we've navigated that particularly well. The Premier League is set up to favour those who've been there the longest, who have the means organically of driving the turnover to reinvest in transfers and player wages to get into that club. And it requires clinging on by your fingernails for a period of time. And it will get progressively, theoretically, progressively easier to climb the table, to kick on and to invest more into the football department when you've had 3 years of Premier League turnover to back you. So if that is the outcome, I'm confident we'll be okay. My route to survival probably does require 4 points, if not not the six, as Fletch said, against a challenging Fulham team. I've got us beating Palace and drawing with Fulham. But we're a better football team than Luton. I hope this isn't the soundbite that comes back to bite me at the end of May. But let's get it done. Let's have that certainty. Let's focus on making this a football thing. Not bemoaning VAR, not bemoaning refs, not bemoaning what might come down from the league, being about us scoring the goals and defending for our lives to keep in the Premier League. Because having watched the occasional Championship match, I know Fletch doesn't bother watching Championship football. He's midweek at the at Camp Nou, and Forest, he'll go to the City Ground twice a year if he can. I don't want to watch Championship football. It's wretched. It's horrendous. We're going to survive. Let's take these points on the chin and crack on.
Just before I throw it to Fletch, I should say, I thought the ref had a good game on Saturday. We bemoan refs a lot, but Darren England, I thought, fair play. There was that thing with Murillo where Ruddock and Panzo ended up on the hoardings, and there was nothing in that at all to me. And it's just, you know, if your pitch has got rock hard advertising hoardings 2 centimetres from the touchline, then that's probably why players get injured. What about you then, Fletch, in terms of the big picture and potential points deductions?
Yeah, I mean, Temps has talked about four. I don't know. The information that I've gleaned is that it wouldn't be a surprise if it was less than that. I'm not saying I know that it is, but it could be less than that. What I do know is that anybody that's looking at the original punishment that Everton received, the 10 points reduced to 6, and that Everton are being investigated again, as Forest are, I'm led to believe that there are very few similarities between the two cases. That in a lot of cases where Everton have turned right on a decision, Forest went left. So there's not a correlation between what Everton did and what Forest have done, apart from the fact that both of them have broken the PSR regulations, but they've done it in a different way. The processes have been different. So therefore, the punishments won't necessarily be uniform. So I think people are looking at the original punishment and basing what might happen today on that. But I think each case is an individual case, and they're looking at the methods. They're looking at how it happened, why it happened, what was done to try and prevent it happening, what course of action's been taken subsequently to try and put it right. So everybody's being looked at individually. So you may get a situation that Forest punishment now is not the same as Everton's original punishment. And then Everton's next punishment, should they get one, might not bear any resemblance to the one that Forest get today. So it's a difficult circumstance. It's been very, very secretive. I mean, I would be surprised if the football club internally at the highest levels haven't known the punishment levels for a short while. I'm not saying forever, but I think then there's a decision that's taken as to when it's going to be announced. But I think they'll have had a whisper prior to today as what it's going to look like. And then whatever it is, they've just got to get on with it. I mean, they can't sit down and feel sorry for themselves. I mean, this action was taken. This is what's being done. We can all come up with a million reasons why other people should be punished first and why are this club not being looked at. The reality is that's what it is. And they've got to put it behind them quickly, forget about it. And they've got to move on and get enough points to stay in the league. I'm hoping it's not too draconian. I'm confident that the points deduction is going to be manageable based on what I've been told. And then once it comes, at least there will be clarity and everybody will then know what everybody's got to do the rest of the way. I'm with you, Temps. I think if they're from a standing start, a point behind Luton, if we can't win that battle, then you can make a strong case that they don't deserve to be in the Premier League. So I think if it is around there, I would still be confident enough that they'd stay up. But it just needs to be out there now. People need to know. Everybody needs to know.
Yeah, I'm the same. I think if it's, even if it's 6 points, I'd still believe. If it's four or certainly two, then I'd be confident. I think it's just so frustrating that we expected better this season, and to be relying on Luton, Burnley and Sheffield United to be so bad and for us to be marginally better is so disappointing. And I just, time and time again, we've shot ourselves in the foot and cost ourselves games rather than necessarily being beaten by,
Matt, I can say beaten by better sides. They've blown nine leads.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Blown nine leads. There's your problem. So you know they're good enough because they've had the leads to blow. But you blow leads in this league and it soon drops off. If those nine blown leads were 9 points, only 9 points, they ain't even got to be wins. If the nine blown leads were 9 points, you're sat here with a big cigar on, not even bothered about how many points you get whipped off today because you're safe. You're fine. Yeah. And we're talking about progress. And this is a positive podcast. And everybody's happy. And the questions that we're being asked today and the answers that we're giving bear no resemblance to it. But the harsh reality is this is the most unforgiving league in world football. And if you blow leads with the regularity that they are doing and concede late goals with the regularity that they are doing, you get yourself in this mess. And they've got to stop doing that. And this is a lot of this is self-inflicted. So, yeah, one or two refereeing decisions haven't been right. And, yeah, they might lose points at a time when other clubs should probably be losing more and sooner. And we've not got around to that yet. But the reality is a lot of it is self-inflicted. So they've just got to knuckle down, get on with it, and make sure they get enough points to stay in the league. Yeah. I don't want to see the Championship either, by the way. I know what you're saying. I know you're being facetious, but I do watch the Championship as well. I'm not this elitist football snob you've tried to paint me as. But I did turn around to the person next to me, the Liverpool game recently, and said, this could be Barnsley at home, couldn't it? So regardless of what happens, let's just enjoy it. These are halcyon days to be a Forest fan. We are in the Premier League and seeing the best footballers on the planet week after week, even if it can be a bit difficult sometimes based on what's happening around us.
If anyone believes that, go on Fletcher's Insta and look at the last 10 stadiums he's been across the globe, because Oakwell is not among them.
Oh, dear.
He spends more time in Vegas than he does in Barnsley.
You are harsh. You are harsh. I'm going to go to a ground now just to take a picture for you. I'm going to drive there especially.
Just lastly for me is host's privilege. I was going to say they're a maddening team to watch, but they can come together. And I would just appeal. Nuno doesn't listen to this. If Nuno listens to this, he's doing it wrong. But if he listens to me, release the handbrake again. Pick Callum Hudson-Odoi. Get Anthony Langer on the right wing. Play that back four. Pick whatever midfield you want. I think there's a combination in there. Let's be on the front foot. Let's not make weird subs and, you know, cost ourselves points time and again. We're good enough. Just stop being so annoying as a team, Forrest. That's my appeal there. Right. Thank you very much for everyone who's watched along. Just before we come to any other business, we've got 700 people with us now, which is great. And we've had 600 plus with us for the duration. So do us a favor. If you've not already done it, hit like, hit subscribe. You can become a channel member. And of course, give us a good review on iTunes. Read them all. And very much appreciate everyone. Right. Yes. Any other business, anything you want to add before we go, Temps?
Little progress update on that bet that Fletcher and I had about Luton making it to 38 points. That's looking dead in the water now. So when we have our little end of season catch up, I'll...
Shall I start making a reservation, Temps? Am I okay to do that? Or
yeah, I think we better start thinking, haven't we?
Shall I book somewhere nice for us?
Well, you do some research, I'll start saving us.
Just quickly from me, a Reds fan called Paul Lindsay is hiking... 60 days, 20 miles a day, Land's End to John O'Groats in aid of Alzheimer's research. So well done, Paul. I'll put the link in the comments if anyone wants to donate. He's raised about $6,000 already. He's aiming for 10. So do lend your support if you can in these tough times. And I've got one other, which I'll throw to Fletch for his wisdom. But well done to Lee Wood, British Boxing Board of Control, if I'm saying that right, 2023 Fighter of the Year. I know very little about boxing, Fletch. Was Lee a clear and obvious winner? Obviously, fantastic for him. But what's your take on that award?
I don't know about clear and obvious, but he was a thoroughly deserving winner. I mean, nobody deserves it more than him. Fantastic year. Represents our city tremendously, which makes me very proud. Big Forest fan. So well done, Lee. All I would say, look, to the Forest fans out there, I think a lot of this is going to come down to you lot again. It did last year. I think it's going to again. I think the lads need your help. I think you can give it. And I think if you do, you'll be rewarded. But I hope they realise in that dressing room just how lucky they are to have that atmosphere and have the travelling support as well as the home support, because I think the fans are going to need to be a big part of this again, because I fear without them, this is going to be difficult. But I think when we're all together, it makes Forest a very formidable group on and off the pitch. So I think let's get everybody together for Palace and Fulham, and then hopefully good things can happen.
Yep, good words to end on. We shall leave it there. Thanks for everyone's company. Someone was asking in the comments if I'll come back on when we know the points deduction and to give some thoughts. Yeah, I probably will, but I think we've covered it pretty well with these chaps anyway. But we should know in the next few hours, hopefully. Did you want to come back in, Temps? You've unmuted yourself.
No, just being social, mate.
Oh, that's kind. Yeah, well, Michael Temple, thank you very much.
Like my football watching habits again one more time before he leaves.
Good to chat, fellas. I as echo all of that. What can we do? We can support our team positively. So let's not fall into any traps. Need to win these games. 4 points from six would be great. And let's put Luton to bed as early as we can, because there have been some unbearable comments from some of their fans over the weekend.
Oh, you're kidding? Really?
Oh, I'm not opening that can of worms. We'll talk about that.
They're getting a bit giddy at this point. I'll have a bet with them about 38 points. They can all take me out for dinner. I bet none of them will take that.
Oh, that's an off-air conversation, not giving people the satisfaction. Right, Fletch, thank you very much.
Thank you, mate.
A great pleasure. Thanks for everyone's company. Like I say, I might come back on later when we know the points deduction. Ooh, but in the meantime...
You absolutely love it. Can't keep you off.
But Matt Ford will be on. Matt Ford will be on for cash, Fletch.
You're on more than Coronation Street, you, at the minute.
Yeah, I'm on as much as Sky Sports News. Right, we'll be back certainly tomorrow, 10 a.m. with Q&A. I'll put a thing out to get your questions in. But in the meantime, have a good day. Hold your nerve, everyone, and we shall see you soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.